There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Thanks to Notion for supporting our show. Where do I find that one urgent piece of information quickly and with my sanity intact? Try Notion AI for free when you go to notion.com/playretro, all lowercase. There's no commercial.
Are you trying to sell me on Crazy Climber?
There's no commercial. Hey everybody, welcome to Play Retro. This is Play Retro episode 95, and we're recording today, Saturday, November 18th, 2023. And I'm your host, or one of your hosts, Scott Johnson. And I didn't write a thing, so I'll just say... Watch out for those birds. They got egg shit and also real shit. And also, careful, there might be electrical wires hanging there. Go for it. There.
Go for it. Do you think the Crazy Climber bird shit came first or the egg first?
I feel like it was the egg and then the shit. Also, you could toggle. I remember because we had this machine in our basement. You could toggle on or off the bird poop. So,
nice.
That was cool.
And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway. And I'm scaling the side of this building for reasons. And those reasons are known only to the guy with the huge meathead throwing crap at me from open windows. And I have no idea what I did to that condor, but he may want to see the vet about his poops. Go for it. Oh, the helicopter is here. Wee.
Yeah, so we are talking about a classic arcade game that I have so much fondness and nostalgia and childhood memories from. That game being Crazy Climber. Before we get to it, though,
this is like the proto of what we and Scott talked about to get to Play Retro. I think this is one of the first things we ever talked about.
Oh yeah, for sure. Had we not started with Joust, this might have been the one I started with.
This might have been the one.
There's stories to tell, but anyway, in the meantime, in this week when I wasn't trying to get that working, and I did quite well. This game plays great on. Steam Deck emulation, by the way. Very good place for it.
Arcade, use your MAME. I actually use FB Neo for mine, but yeah.
Yeah, it works great. I didn't know this. This is the embarrassing thing. For that game to have such an impactful area in my younger life, for me to not know that there was a sequel actually happened like 8 years later, only in Japan, which is why I didn't hear about it.
That's why you're forgiven.
But I didn't know that. I want to play that now. I can, but I haven't. I will, but I haven't, you know? And that's annoying.
Yeah.
It's annoying to me.
It's annoying to not be a part of something.
That's right.
You thought you were.
So speaking of Switch emulation, I was messing with Steam Deck. I've been trying to get Switch stuff to work on mine.
Now that is some heavy duty lifting that I have not tried to do, which is to try to use modern games on the Steam Deck. But
it's
tricky. It is possible.
It is. It's not only possible. It runs extremely well for those who figured it out. I have not yet figured it out. So I'll keep messing around with it. And of course, it'll only be
because a lot of times you're limited to your emulation because emulation is generally done through a software layer, which really cuts down on your ability to use the hardware directly. Unless you're using something like a FPGA or something. So to emulate software-wise, a modern gaming system is kind of...
It's a trick.
It will blow your mind.
Yeah, you usually want to be in the OP years later down the road when you can, you know, you can play Doom on a watch because you can, you know.
Yeah, or your Samsung refrigerator. Did I leave my door open? No, that's just Doom.
We're just killing demons 24/7. here at the house. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I've been messing with that. I'll report back. So far, it's a little kludgy, but I'll get around to it. In the meantime, Brian, you've been doing disc swapping. Oh, man.
So I got motivated about a month or two ago. Scott got somebody donated a Sega Saturn to him. I had purchased a Saturn a couple of years ago, and I'd only been really playing a few games here and there that I would pick up off eBay. I had no modifications done to my Sega Saturn, just using the original system and putting regular old disc in it. Now purchase off of eBay. I kind of went through the low hanging fruit of stuff I can purchase, and it's only like five or six games I've been able to purchase at a reasonable price. I bought a couple of little demo discs and stuff, but as we know, Sega Saturn didn't sell a whole lot. It sold a good bit, but not as much as a lot of older systems, and it's disc based, so those things are real easy to destroy. So and plus we've had a huge surgence of people using retro gaming, and as a result, Saturn games are pretty expensive to pick up. So I still want to play it on the original hardware. There's a couple options I could do. I could replace my laser with some other stuff and SD cards and all this stuff. But I like the idea of playing those original discs. So I said, well, maybe I can burn some discs. Scott got someone sent him one. It had one of the carts that you plug in the back. It's a memory cart. It was an Action Replay.
Yep.
And for those who don't know, no, that's not a cartridge on that Sega Saturn for the Sega, for the
it looks like system. A Genesis cartridge. Genesis, it is not.
Right.
It is 100% not that. Yeah.
It's not that. It's a memory place. Anyway,
it's really stupid, by the way. They should have, if they were going to do that, change the shape. They did the full U shape of Genesis cartridges.
Yeah.
What were they thinking? Oh my gosh.
There's a reason why we don't talk much about the Saturn. So I was like, oh, cool. Let me see. Cause I knew people had talked about being able to do it. There's KAI, an ability to let you run any burn disc on your Sega Saturn. So the card I got does not have that on it, but it can be flashed with the firmware. However, it's tricksy. You got to plug it in there. And then in order to load the firmware from a CD, you've got to do this disc swap. You can do all, you can play burnt disc with nothing. I think you can anyway. Basically, there is an old disc swap trick.
Sure.
You put in the disc that you've burned, and then the machine would read the chapter data off of that, and then it would immediately head to the outside of the disc to check for copy protection. If you pulled the disc out after it read the table of contents and then headed for the copy protection, you could stick a real disc in real quick. Pop,
pop, pop. Wow.
And it would read that. It would read the copy protection. And then as soon as the laser starts moving back towards the center to get back to the table of contents to start the game, you pull the real disc out and you put the fake one in and you go, video games.
Sounds like a timing thing. You had to hurry the hell up, right?
It's a timing thing. So
wild.
Okay, so
the things we used to go through to hack through things. I mean, still do, I guess. You're doing it now.
And I just made it sound super easy. It's not.
No.
It's not actually easy. It takes a lot of learning. And it's hilarious because I went to YouTube, where you go, and everybody's like, okay, everybody has this on YouTube. Sega Saturn disc swap trick, the easy method. There's like 20 of these videos. They're all the easy method. Yeah. There's a couple of different models. So first of all, I got to weed through that. Which model do I have? And then you have all these different theories. It's like, you got to listen for the sound. Other guys are like, oh, you got to look at the thing. And other people are like, oh, you got to watch the screen for the loads to pop up. So there's like all these different theories. Literally, I was up until like 1 o'clock in the morning because I started late. Because everybody made it sound so easy. I thought I was just going to go pop, pop, pop and be done with it. No, 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm sitting there going flip, 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 flip. Then I learned all about what exactly the laser's doing. All that stuff I just spilled to you about going out and checking the copy protection. I didn't know that shit when I started.
No. How would you know that?
Because I didn't, because I had to read, because no one would explain it to you. They would just say, you know, do this, do this. But anyway, long story short, it's a nightmare. Don't do it. And I'm sure people are screaming, oh my God, you're going to ruin the motor if you do that. I was like, I was just determined. Yeah. I got the firmware put on my card. I was able to play one game, but I was unable to play the one that started this whole thing. I could not find a decent copy of Scud, the Disposable Assassin, and I wanted to play on the Sega Saturn. Could not find one at a reasonable price, and this is the one I wanted to do.
This might not exist, by the way, because that game sucks, but go ahead, continue.
Oh, I love that game.
I played more of it. I didn't like it. I tried it. You were raving about it last week, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to give it more time because Brian was so ravey about it. Let's give this thing a shot, and I do not like the Scud game. Fine. I've turned around.
That's fine. You don't have to like it. I like it. But the point is, since it's a burn disc, which you can write at different speeds, which puts, you know, it puts the lotion on the skin. It goes different little, you know, it may spin differently. So anyway, I tried a bunch of different settings. Basically, I'd come down to this. I've got to adjust the laser and how precise. I got to adjust the laser strength. So I got to pop everything back open, get my multimeter out. Figure out exactly what level it needs to be at so that I can properly read. So, man, I am deep.
You're deep in.
In the Sega Saturn trying to get this shit to work. Excuse my language, but there you go.
Well, you can
that's what I've been doing this week.
Swear away. No, that's fantastic. I'm proud of you, man. Look at you with your innovative retro work. Getting it done so the rest of us can learn and maybe try it ourselves, you know?
Boy, I was tired the next morning too. I had to be up at 5, stay up till 1. What am I doing with my life, Scott?
What are you doing? My Lord. All right. Well, let's find out what we're doing with our life today. We're going to talk about a crazy climber.
Shall we play a game?
Just to get us cranking, here's a little sound. And this is going to be your experience for most of the game.
Yes.
What you hear there? That's the stuff. I'll show you some video chat for those watching live and those on the YouTube. Hold on. There it is.
Go for it.
It now looks very rudimentary and very old. But, man, this game, I don't even know where to start here. Okay, so I know where to start. My dad, this is the heyday when my dad was really getting into the arcades and building out, you know, this business, the video game coin-op business that he was building. By the way, I don't think I've ever talked about it. His company was called... Oh, shit. American Amusement.
Go for it?
No, I wish it was Go For It. It was called American Amusement. That was the name of the thing.
Oh, that's a great name. That definitely sounds like a place I would have bought my arcade equipment from.
Yeah, it was all right. It was, turns out there was a bunch of others using it for other things. And so you had to fight a bunch of fights about exclusivity. And this was in the 80s and things were different then for that sort of thing. But anyway, this is one of the only times he had both a stand-up arcade model and a sit-down one that he brought to the house the same time. So we had in the garage a stand-up model of the game, and on that one, you did the sticks this way with your fists. I mean, that was down
right
here.
Right, and Scott's doing a alternating up-down. So he's going up with his left hand and down with his right hand on these 8-way joysticks that are the Crazy Climber controls.
That's right. So you're doing like shunk, shunk with every arm stretch and sometimes off to the distance to do like a cross window thing.
What do they call this? You're skiing. What is this? Slalom? That's not it. Salamis? What do you
Salamis?
Do?
Salamis? Slalom.
Salami?
I think you mean slalom. Is that what you mean? You're in the South. There's no skiing. Where you are, it's fine. I understand.
Right. It's like that exercise, but it's just elliptical. It's like doing an elliptical sort of.
It is a little bit like that. And anyway, that's how you control it. Well, on the sit-down model, it's a cocktail machine, and it's in the exact same configuration as the Mooncrest that we have out here that I still have.
Yes.
Because
yes.
This is the same publisher/developer who made both those games. But anyway.
It's probably the same board, too, if I had to guess.
Yeah, probably if I had to guess, same board. So you're down there, and you're holding it now as if you're picking up a wheelbarrow, except
it reminds me of like wheelbarrow, or if you've ever seen people do the rope thing. So we're more exercise thing. So you know how you like do the power ropes and you have to like pull them up, it's not that loose, but it's kind of that motion. Right?
It is a bit pretty much that motion. And it was a little bit weird going back and forth because it was kind of a different muscle memory, but I got used to it. And I got so good at this game that I entered a contest. And the contest was for digital watches.
Casios?
No, Timex, like, had the full readout, the calculator buttons, the whole dumb, stupid thing we all thought was cool then.
Did you have, was it silver or gold-plated?
It was silver, if I remember right.
Silver, yeah, silver.
I don't have the I would
gold,
kill.
Gold flaked too quick.
I would kill to still have this watch. I do not know where it went. Somewhere after I turned 18, my mom tossed it, or who knows, I don't know what the frick happened. but that thing is no longer in my possession, and I would love to have it back just to have this memory. But anyway, my brother won a watch playing Battlezone, and I won mine getting the top score in Crazy Climber. And the funny thing
that's
is,
right, we were all thirsty for watches back in the
we really were. Well, plus it was a little bit unfair, or like you'd probably do it different now, but the fact that my dad owned the arcade that was doing the contest, and right. Matt and I kids. Entered it. Yeah, it wasn't really fair. Like, we had too much practice at home with free play on and everything else.
Right. Yeah, this game's hard as crap to get
it's
better at.
It's freaking hard. And you and the first quarters. Level, first level to the top, no big deal. You can do it. It's reasonable. Yeah. But things get crazy after that. And
yeah, it's almost like a Crazy Climber kind of thing, right?
Yeah, it's almost like you're climbing and it's crazy. I have an idea for a title. Oh, Crazy Climber. Yeah. There were toggle switches on this thing that turned off the bird poop because the bird both drops eggs and poop. And if you, they really don't, it doesn't matter. One of them hits you and it's bad. So you want to avoid both of them. But in the thing, they had these switches where you could flip it to only show the eggs and not the poop, which I thought was so weird.
That's interesting. I'm curious. Did it turn all the eggs and the poop? Because that's fewer obstacles, because that bird is really, he's laying it down, man.
Oh, yeah.
He's laying poop and eggs.
He's had a rough. Out like, he's had a rough
like
week.
Like a breakfast at Denny's. It's just insane.
You know how Denny's never closed? We had one close right near us. Can't figure out.
Oh no,
they never close. I don't know what happened. Nobody
probably
was
the bird and the poops.
Could have been. But anyway, so I should explain a little bit more how this thing plays. And we both spent time with it this week, so we both kind of have a taste of this.
Yeah. You know how you didn't care for Scud? Guess what?
Oh, not a fan, of the crazy climbing. I mean, you know what it is? I think I have a weird esoteric relationship with the game, because on the face of it, if I was playing it for the first time today, I would probably go, okay, I'm climbing a building, I'm avoiding window shutting my fingers, guys throwing pots out, I just have to brace myself so when it hits my head, it just says ouch and doesn't hurt me permanently. But if I don't do that and I'm reaching when one hits me, I'm going to fall to my death and lose a life. It's kind of rudimentary and not that big a deal, this game. However, where it got me when I was a kid, this is where it got me.
Right.
I started at the bottom of a thing and it felt like, I know it wasn't procedurally generated. All right, I know that.
Right. True.
But it gave you a feeling of that. It had this feeling of, whoa, this building splits, and now I'm super high. My imagination filled in so much of the rest that game became legendary in my head, when really it's probably not as great as I think it was.
This game is super important. I mean, it is a stepping stone to the modern platformer. Climbers were a huge thing for just a minute in the arcade. This is right before Donkey Kong hit, which is probably one of the most popular transitions from climber to platformer that you can think of. And but to me, since I didn't play it very much back in the day, I played it a couple of times the arcade, I'd drop a quarter in, I'd play it for a few minutes, like get pissed and leave, because it's one of those games where it's not easy to sometimes they'll say, oh, it's easy to get started, but then to really progress, you have to get better.
Easy to play, hard to master is usually what you hear.
Right. Yeah. This is not even easy to play. This is hard to play, hard to master. It reminds me of QWOP, which was great, more modern take on controlling individual things. Because here you're not controlling the feet. What you're doing is just controlling the arms of the climber using your eight directions. You can go around in circles with each of the eight-way joysticks to keep climbing up these walls would have obstacles and windows and stuff. And it's just too difficult, man. It's too unforgiving, because there's too many positions that you can be in that you just get frustratingly stuck. It's like, I'm doing the same things, but now he stopped going up.
Yeah.
Why is he stopped going up? I'm doing the exact same things. The reason why is because on the surface, it looks like you're just going up, down, but the real truth is, you can't reach for a window if it's in a certain position. You can't reach certain things if another part of your body is in another certain position and you go in the wrong direction, or you don't do a circle, you do a counter circle. There's all kinds of nuances that just totally break what's the fun part, which is when you really start to climb, when you get the rhythm going on and you can climb up really fast. That feels so good.
It does.
But it's too far and in between to be able to do it, and too inaccessible for a new user. So thank you a lot, Fujiwara, and your stupid hard barman type games that eventually become fun.
Yeah.
Jerk.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. I think everything you said is about right. We had it in the house and I got so good at it that I could traverse this thing. I'm on like arm over arm, skipping these dudes chucking pots at me by just deftly moving an arm quickly out of the way, not ducking, not holding. Like I got really good at the flow of the game. And which is why I won the contest, I think, because I just dominated.
Yeah.
But it is hard. It is sometimes punishingly hard. But I found it so satisfying to get to the roof and then you get the helicopter. I don't know why there's another mini game of where you position your hand, the helicopter's got to bounce around like a DVD symbol. You know what I'm talking about?
So I've only made it to the helicopter maybe two or three times the entire time I played this week. And I tried to put in as much as I could.
Yeah.
And you're right. So you get up to the top where the helicopter is to take you to another building. There's four buildings in the arcade version. And it's got like you said, it's got like this DVD screensaver kind of thing. And you have to be in the right position.
Annoying.
It only stays for like, I forget how many seconds it stays, but you can miss the helicopter.
You can
just totally miss it, which is get to the chopper. I was trying to get to the chopper.
Your guy just sits there yelling, go for it, go for it. And I'm like, I'm here for it. Where do you want me to do? It's the plane. It's the elevator or the elevator. It's the guy in the helicopter who sucks, not me.
Yeah. I like the fact that you grabbed the audio for the go for it from, I think, version two of this game, because I'd played version one and you can't understand any of the voice stuff in that one. It's like, hur, 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 hur. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah. Really bad voice modulation in the early stuff. For
pretty
sure.
Good. Yeah.
Man, just the sounds of it, the opening do I have it here? Let's just play it.
We got three classic songs that play in this one, I believe. Yeah.
It's great. And then this one at the end, listen to this one. Hold on. Where is it? And then again,
that's good.
And then it finally ends. And that book at the end, that's junior high all up in my butt. Just
it is super catchy. Did you catch any of the Pink Panther? Because that's the third song they play, is the Pink Panther song.
Oh, I missed that. No, or I just didn't notice it or something.
Yeah. But I dug the song selection. I don't know if there was an in-house guy at Nichi Butsu or however you say.
I don't think I've ever said developer. It right for years. So
yeah,
don't feel
Nichi
bad.
Butsu.
Yeah.
We mostly probably noticed it and recognized it for Taito, who is pushing it out in the States. But the developer was Nichi Butsu, and they I don't know if they had an in-house person. I haven't read too much about them. They didn't. As far as retro gaming goes, I haven't read much about them so far.
Well, so we talked about Frisky Tom before, right? Have we talked about Frisky Tom?
Yeah, I briefly, we probably talked about him when we're doing the Bomberman episode. Is that
we might have. So Frisky Tom is this game that the same company made. We had it too. And speaking of toggle switches, so in Japan, what you were doing is it was basically a pipe dream kind of game. It's the same idea.
Right, right.
Connecting pipes, you're a little plumber guy, and you're trying to make sure it's all working. And when you're done, enough water goes to the damsel's bath. More water comes out of the bath. That's what happens. So it starts to empty.
Oh,
so when you go to her bath.
You want it to empty, right?
Yeah.
Well, let's see what the princess has.
So you get like 4 to 8-bit, crap graphics, though. But we all were like, a bunch of dumb, preteens. But that game had a toggle. So in Japan, she's fully naked in there.
Okay.
In America, unless you change the default back to the Japanese defaults on the dip switches, she was in a bikini. And I was always annoyed by that.
Guess where they got it? Scott's house.
Yeah, that's the one. I mean, we got access to inside all those things, so we could pull these switches and change stuff all the time. And we would turbo things. And
did you break out the manuals and look? Let's see. I gotta get you to read the manual here.
A little bit. Some of that stuff my dad would get. Straight up, some of that stuff would just ship with it, right? Would come with the machines.
Yeah, a lot of times you get the manual, right? I had a question that somebody asked me the other day. Follow-up from our very early episodes of Play Retro. One of the things that we were wanting to do was to complete some of our Play Retro projects we had on our plates as part of this reason to do it. And they wanted to know, did Scott ever get out into the garage and is it Moon Cresta? Was that the one you were working on?
It is. No. So I have, well, I have two. So I have the Moon Cresta machine that's in the house. That one I'm probably not going to convert. I just hang on to it.
Right.
But the one my dad built, which was the one for, I think what's in there, the board that's in there is a Kamikaze 3 board, which was a hack of Galaga or Galaxian. Anyway,
Galaxian.
It's basically a high-speed turbo thing.
Which is appropriate because this company did a bunch of knockoffs, that kind of stuff.
They did, yeah. And they, you know, they really didn't go past the point of these two games. Well, mostly for, they're known for Frisky Tom and Crazy Climber, and that's kind of it. Like, no one thinks about them in any other context, and you don't hear about them today. Like, as far as I know, they're done. I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't. This is the only the second time I've seen their name, so I didn't do a real deep dive on the developer. Even though probably somebody's going to write it and go, "Oh, you guys don't know about Terra Cresta? Come on,
Terra Cresta." Well, Moon Cresta was a better game, so take that. But anyway, it just has. I have a lot of soft feelings for this thing. And if you were lucky enough to own an Atari 2600 in 1982, you would have heard this. Oh, okay.
And then after your ears stop bleeding.
Yeah. And that's him climbing, that sound.
I enjoyed this a lot more.
Did you?
It's so...
Okay, but listen to this end thing. There's no way you like the way this ended, all right? So here's how it ends. When it gets the helicopter and leaves, this is the sound it makes. Give it a sec. That's an assault on my soul. That's horrendous.
That is such a helicopter. That is such an Atari 2600 sounding helicopter. They nailed. They used what they had, and they nailed it. But I did enjoy this once again. We're looking at a port that is, you know, we only got one joystick and a button.
Yeah.
And the other in the arcade game is two sticks. And part of the fun of it is that alternating rhythm of learning how to do it. Here we're only using one stick, eight directions still, and you just kind of go up and down, and you kind of move to the right. So I found it much easier to navigate because
it's easier to play. They get rid of the QWOP, and it helps. I agree with that. Yeah. I think it's ugly as sin, though, this game. Oh my gosh.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it's not nearly as attractive, but it's got its charm, too, and the buildings aren't as wide. So yeah, it's a much lower bar. It does take the challenge away, but I made it to the helicopter lots of times, at least made it to building two before I got killed. But I think they added some levels here as well, if I'm not mistaken. So you know, it's got its charm. If you like this one, it's okay. Not all of us had arcade machines in our basement.
No, I agree. It was a bit of a charmed life that way, so I can't really explain it. But I mean, it really is. It's one of those things. What you said is not untrue. If I were to experience Crazy Climber arcade for the very first time, I would probably have kind of a rough time with it.
Because yeah, absolutely.
It's just not, you know, back then you just put up with more because games were kind of new and interesting and it was like stuff you never heard of before and they were doing it weird. And I will say this, the bird never poops in this game. It's all eggs. Eggs only.
Yes, it's all eggs. And this would have been something that a lot of people probably didn't have this when it first came out because the only way you could get it was through the Atari Age magazine. You could order it there and have it delivered to your house 4 to 6 weeks later.
I did not know that. I thought you could buy it in the store. That's a magazine only deal, eh?
Yeah, it was a magazine only deal in the beginning. Now they did do some different distributions later on, but if first year or so, 2 years, that was how you got it.
Wow.
It was through the Atari Age magazine.
Wow. I did not have
it
that.
It was featured in I think the 1982 first issue, right after they had done the E.T.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yep.
The E.T. nightmare thing that happened.
They did the E.T.
People want us to talk about that, but doesn't everyone already know the story?
There's a lot of content already out there about the E.T. So I wouldn't mind visiting it. I actually have, you know, fond memories of it. I have a couple little stories where my cousin and I played it. So, I mean, I don't know if it... Maybe as part of a Atari... What happened episode, maybe...
Yeah,
like, maybe that have a whole episode.
Yeah, because there's documentaries. There's so much stuff about it.
There's so much deep, heavy stuff. There's even an ending to the story about what happened with all that. So we've got a complete story out there.
Yeah, for sure. And we may get around to it. We'll see.
Yeah. We'll still get around to it.
Oh, I got a notion for you. You're like, hey, does Scott have an idea? Well, he sure does. Well, listen, I want to thank our good pals at Notion for sponsoring today's show. And I've had such a wonderful experience with Notion. You may have heard of them before. I don't know. You know, there's apps and, you know, web apps and stuff like that. And I'd heard of them months ago, but I wasn't quite sure what was up. Now, I'm loving them. What I love about Notion is everything in one place. And in a way of organizing your to-dos, your tasks, your work, your meetings, all of that stuff in some pretty unique new ways. And what's going to keep me around is that kind of collaborative aspect of it. I have to do a lot of work with a lot of co-hosts, a lot of people, stuff like that. And if you're like me, you already know how amazing Notion is, the sponsor of today's episode. I use it every day for notes, documents, project management, all kinds of stuff. It's how I track what guests are coming up, who have I contacted, who have I not. It's kind of the perfect tool for all of that. I use it every freaking day. So I was excited to learn that they have launched a new AI tool called Q&A. It's like a personal assistant that responds in seconds with exactly what you need right in your doc. Just used it the other day and it was fantastic. I needed it to do a reduced version of some show notes. I was trying to have a better, I don't know, trying to get less characters out of it. And it did it beautifully and said it better than I could. Anyway, additionally, Notion combines my notes, my docs, my projects all together in one beautiful place. Navigating that space is easier than ever, thanks to that new feature. And it's awesome. If your projects get more complex, finding that you're looking across an entire workspace gets harder, well, this is where Notion Q&A comes in. It answers any question you have, making it so much easier for you to deal with your database of knowledge each and every day. Notion AI can give you the instant answers to your questions using information from across your wiki, your projects, docs, and meeting notes. And you can try Notion AI for free when you go to notion.com/playretro. That's all lowercase letters. All right, so get in there. Have an urgent question you'd normally turn to a coworker and answer, ask them that question? Well, just ask Q&A instead. It'll search through the thousands of documents in seconds and answer your question in clear language, no matter how large or complex your workspace is. Plus, you can trust that your data is secure because Notion AI is designed to protect your information. No AI models are trained with your info. The data is encrypted, and answers will never use information from pages you don't have access to. All right. When you use Notion AI, it is even easier to get your most meaningful work done. Try Notion AI for free when you go to notion.com/playretro. That's all lowercase letters, by the way. notion.com/playretro. To try the powerful, easy-to-use Notion AI today. And when you use our link, you're supporting our show. Go check them out today. And thanks, Notion. You're awesome. Here's the thing I didn't know before we did this episode, and I'm still pissed about this. There was a sequel. Crazy Climber 2 came out, but it didn't come out here. It came out in Japan only. And I was never aware of it until this week. And I feel like a dummy because I think I would have at least known about this. Yeah. You know, hadn't played it, maybe not, because, you know, Japan only. It is also amazing what between the year 1982 and the year 1988, how much visually has changed here. This is a proper, like, good looking video game, maybe even, you know, better than 16-bit looking, better than the Genesis and the Super NES we're going to bring around the corner. Like, it's a good looking game.
So much texture, so much pixel, so many pixels, man. I love it. And it's kind of Americanized too. In the original, we didn't talk about it. We did talk about the bird and stuff because the monkey's not much. There's a Donkey Kong. There's a King Kong on the building in the first one, but he's pretty easy to get past.
No,
you know,
big
right?
Deal.
He just kind of chunks a little bit. You just pass him like, get out of here. You're so stupid.
Yeah.
Here, there's another King Kong again and a Godzilla. And one of my favorite parts, which is your first thing obstacle you have to go against, is a night mission. There's this lady who's kind of like she's like a pinup girl you'd see. Yeah. And she's on a big poster.
She's showing
thing,
her butt crack. She's got butt crack showing going her on.
Butt crack, and it's like lower back. But anyway, the fun part is she's got a leg and a shoe, and she can kick you right off the building. Yeah. So it's an interesting obstacle. The obstacles are a lot more fun to overcome.
Yeah.
And it's easier to start here I had no trouble getting at least halfway up the building before, you know, better skills were needed to progress.
Same control scheme,
but the way they had it laid out, I wasn't getting stuck as often. I could at least play the first, you know, 30 seconds before I would be totally wiped out, because you're already seeing it on screen. Once you get up a little bit further, you got to avoid laundry. So you start to make in all this quick timing questions. And that seems more procedurally generated, like you had talked about earlier, because the clothes come out in different patterns and different stackings, and it can be much more difficult. But I appreciated what they had learned from the first one. But I hated we didn't get it here in the U.S. I would have totally played this in the arcade.
Yeah, this would have been fun. I really love the look of it. The sound's great. Here's some of that.
No reason why this couldn't be distributed in the U.S. It's got America stuff all over it. It's got Coca-Cola flashing in the background. Signs. It could have totally been released in the U.S. I guess the demand maybe for this type of game wasn't there, was the decision. Maybe they took it to Taito or whoever, and they're like, nah, it's year 1988, and we're not into that right now.
Yeah, still, you have to admit, like, the difference between this and the first one in only 6 years or whatever it was, really nothing.
6 years.
It's really great. Like, this really
it's amazing.
It's one of the better looking arcade games of that year, and it never came here. So, jerks.
Yeah, it never came here. And there was a whole bunch of console ports. The PlayStation got a Crazy Climber port. There was a bunch of stuff that got released in Japan for Crazy Climber. Apparently, a much more receptive audience to Crazy Climber than here in the U.S. We didn't see that. I think it eventually made it. I think it's now on the Switch.
Yeah.
I think I can get it in the arcade.
It is.
Collections there.
Yeah.
And maybe the PSN, I think, had it at some point in time. I don't know if they still do or not. But basically just like arcade collection stuff that would throw the Crazy Climber in there. Did you ever see that Data East Fire Trap from 1986?
Oh, hell yeah. Fire Trap, dude.
Yeah.
Fire Trap's awesome.
Makes me think that. Yeah, I think that kind of makes me feel like that maybe Crazy Climber 2 kind of was influenced by some of that. But, you know, what do I know?
What do you know? Yeah. I will say, what was I going to say? I was going to say a thing about this. I forgot what it was.
I was going to say a thing, and then I was going to talk about the TVs and the guy.
Oh, yeah.
The
they throw TVs at him now, which is great. It used to be just pots and plants, but this game's like, nope, we're throwing whole stereos and like boom boxes and televisions at you and what do you call them? Vacuums.
Yeah, it is no longer just that one weird looking meathead. It's now like a lady and a dude, at least. At least I didn't make it past the first building to really know. But yeah,
I'd be curious to play. So I haven't even played this one yet.
It was, like I said, it was fun. It was fun.
I want to. So you'd take this over the original, is what you're saying.
Oh, absolutely. If you said, hey, Brian, we're going to have a party and we're going to play Crazy Climber, and like, which one? You'd be like, the first one. Nope, you can. To eat cheese and die. Is Crazy Climber 2? I'm there. I'm there, man.
Sign me up. Sign me up for a CC 2 is what you'd call
That's
it.
That's right. I will climb Nichubichi building 1 and maybe make it to 2. We'll see.
What was I going to say? I don't remember what I was going to say before. It was something about
How was it? Did you ever play the board game? I would actually come over to your house and play
Hold on. There was a board game. Let's talk about the board game.
If you kind of scroll down to little known facts and interesting links in our notes, whatever, to Board Game Geek, you can look up the board game Bandai had released for Crazy Climber. Has your board pieces with the climbing of the building, and also has cards and it looked interesting. I watched somebody kind of go through a little bit on YouTube, but I could see myself playing some Crazy Climber at a party. Maybe
this is all in Japanese again. Is it only available there?
This is once again only available there. The coolest port for this game was for the Famicom, which is a shame because, you know, we had the NES. We should have gotten it.
Yeah.
If you got the Famicom version of Crazy Climber, you could also. I'm not sure if it came with the game or if you could order it afterwards, but you essentially could hold two controllers sideways. NES controllers, D-pads, your D-pad, and you would get these little D-pad covers with like a thumbstick on it. So how forward thinking was that? Two thumbsticks on using two controllers, and you can simulate the climbing of the buildings.
That's awesome. I used to love when they do weird shit like that. It's like two controllers. Yeah. It's all you need. Yeah, this is a good looking port. I like it.
Yeah, but thumb controllers, crazy.
Yeah. Oh, it had this weird platformy bit in the middle. Look at this stuff.
Yeah, this is definitely where, you know, we were heading towards platformers, right? We were definitely trying to get there.
Yeah, look at this thing though. This is gnarly.
It's like, let's go vertical.
Very weird.
Watch out for that bird. Yeah, he got bird poop.
He's got bird bat poop. I think those are bats.
I want to pet that bird.
Let me pet your bird. Can I pet your bird?
There was one other thing too. I'm trying to remember who did it. It wasn't Tiger. I'm trying to remember. There was also like a little tabletop kind of crazy climber. Did you see that one? I meant to put that in the list.
No, like a tabletop game, like a board.
Yeah,
game?
like the old Tiger kind of games where you like you got like a little or Mattel. You know, the more mechanical LED kind of stuff.
I remember hating those. I hated those kind of games.
I remember hating those as well. But there's actually a contingent of people out there who really...
Well, I have some fond feelings for them now. Like, I'd love my Coleco football game back if I could find it somewhere.
Yeah, now that was on the bus footballing for me. That was the best.
Hell yeah, dude. That was some of my favorite stuff ever.
I guess Bandai must have had the rights to it because, yeah, here it is. I'll send you the link. It's Bandai's Crazy Climber. In addition to their board game, they must have also done this. And I sent you the link.
Okay, there it is. I'll take a look at that. Real quick, I remember what I was trying to remember.
Cool.
I remember what I was trying to remember. Now I remember it. You ready for what I remember?
Give me what you remember.
Oh, crap. I closed the browser. Hold on. It is that you don't hear a lot of talk about it, but here, I'll fix this. Sorry, chat. The Wreck-It Ralph was partially inspired by Crazy Climber. And some people have said, well, I thought that was mostly Mario or, you know, the original Donkey Kong. And that's true.
Right.
That's absolutely true. It is. But there are aspects to it, especially with the window stuff and you breaking everything, being literally, you know, what did you do? I can't remember. The hammer guy would fix shit and then Wreck-It Ralph would break it all and you were trying to fix it before he would break it all or something. Whatever
it was. Right, which kind of reminds me of Rampage more than Mario, but that's not the same either. All those things were basically it's based on climber games.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. That is true. Okay. There it is. There's the
granddaddy of climber games. It's crazy climber.
All right. So here's now we're looking at this video. Oh, they gave you two sticks and everything, eh?
Yeah.
Wild.
See, this is a good looking one of these. Apparently it also had, you know, you could use, I think those are C batteries or you could plug it in, but it's that's a good chunk. I like how that looks. Yeah, that does not look cheap at all.
Go for it.
I'm actually kind of impressed with that.
Yeah. I like this got like an illustrate. It's really kind of Art Nouveau. It's got like the city scene is off to the right a little bit and you've got this nice city painting. And then the center of the screen is where the LEDs are. And it's a really good gold and black. It looks really nice.
Yeah, that's cool.
This guy with his giant hands though, are going to monkey grip this thing to death. I think though.
Yeah, he's got big old mitts. Look at these hands. You guys, oh man, he knows how to grab a thing.
Yeah, yeah, he's good at grabbing stuff. I love it.
Well, anyway, there is your look at that. Real quick, Fire Trap is did that ever make it here though? Did he's Fire Trap? I don't remember that making it to the States, or did it?
I've played it before, but that was probably in my retro journey. I don't think it was something that I played naturally and organically along the way. Kind of reminds me a little bit of somewhere between Rampage and Crazy Climber because the way it's positioned and stuff with that.
Right. 86 looks like.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I have a memory of this.
Yeah. Fast climbing. It's more on the action and less on the bullshit climbing.
Yeah. I don't know why that stuff intrigues me, though. There's something about getting to the top of it, ascending something. Or I also like descending things. I like the game Downwell, which is basically the opposite. You jump down into a hole, and the goal is to get to the very bottom of wherever this place goes.
Right.
And I love that. I don't know why. What is that motif that interests me? I don't know.
You always trying to climb. It's a metaphor for life, Scott.
Yeah,
that's
I guess
why.
So.
That's what it, yeah, it my, it knows you.
My grandma hated this game, so she loved Moon Cresta. Right. And when we showed up and said, hey, grandma, we got another one from the Nichon Butsu, or however you say their name.
Yeah. Ninja Boom 2.
And she's like, oh, I'll play that. I really enjoyed that Mooncrest game. She played that for hours. Right. She got onto this thing. She's like, I hate this. This is terrible.
Ah, see, grandma knows.
Grandma knows. She didn't like it, but I say it's a classic. So take that. My Timex watch in the 80s says different, buddy.
Yeah, yeah. When you don't have anymore.
Nope. I don't know where it went. Probably got thrown away or sold or taken to I don't know. What do you call it? What's the place called?
Recycling shop.
Thrift shop or something. Yeah.
It's probably in Andy's toy room.
Oh, man. Hopefully not at Sid's toy room. Then we're in big trouble. All right. Well, that does it for Crazy Climber. If you want to check out more, there's tons of video out there. It's worth tracking down and playing at least once to see if I'm wrong.
Right. Yeah.
And like Brian said, if you're lucky, you can get a hold of two via that old. There is a PlayStation version, although I don't think you can buy it now.
Yeah. Like I said, it was on the PSN, which is the PlayStation Network, for a while. I'm not sure if it's still available. You definitely can get it on the Switch, though. That's probably the place to get it.
I got to play Fire Trap. Look at this thing.
Oh, Fire Trap looks good, brother.
Yeah.
I'm down with that.
And that would have been right after the big crash, because my dad was buying. My dad had an agreement or a contract with Data East to bring those games over and make our own. So that's why we had Lock and Chase. That's how we got Zor. There was a golf game they did. And this would have been right after all of that. So in theory, we could have ended up with this and our stuff had the business not taken a giant shit.
A giant poopy poop.
Giant video game poop. All right, poop. That's it for that. Let's move on to a game that we like to call Guess My Game. Oop, where is it?
Destroy
it. No, guess my game.
Guess my game. You're going to start with me. Here's the deal. We take old games, we play audio, we try to guess what each other's game is. I'm going to start with one that came out in 1984. For the arcade. Okay.
Oh, that's a good time. That's what, like 2 years? No, that's the same year as
2 year. Wait, what was of Crazy Climber?
What's Crazy Climber? Yeah.
Crazy Climber is 80. So,
Many years later than four years later.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of the crash, or right after the crash one, right? 1984.
84, 85. 84, 85 was kind of the zone there where everything took a dump. Yeah. Yeah. It's a rough time.
Get in the zone, arcade zone.
It was a rough time. But here is the audio from this 1984 arcade classic. Let's see if you can figure it out. Here we go. Any guesses yet? Or questions? You get three.
All right, it's 1984. Is it the arcade? Yep. Is this based on an intellectual property?
No. In fact, here's a fun way to answer that. This is the opposite of that, meaning this game, how do I put this? This game is a game that makes a thing that would be really expensive if they decided to use the IP that would be thought of for it.
Could you run around the block a few more times?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm not explaining it very well at all, but it's basically hard to explain. It's like they made, it's not a knockoff.
It's not an intellectual property, but it sure could be. It looks like somebody else's intellectual property. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and today, if you played a game like this, you would expect to license it.
Right, I got you. All right.
So there you go. That probably helped.
Next question.
Yeah.
Now, that makes sense. Next question. Is this a 84? Are we going vertical? Or horizontal?
Yeah, I think it was vertical. Yes.
So the gameplay was vertical.
I think so. Okay. Although not overtly vertical. Still like 4x3, but just flipped, so 3x4.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I got you.
But not like some custom monitor or anything like that.
Right. I know that sound, though. I played this not that long ago.
Yeah. And if it sounds, I'll give you another hint that you didn't ask for. If it sounds like an NES, there's a reason.
Okay, so Nintendo did arcade games as well, so right? So, yeah. Okay. Is it... let me guess more question. Let me see. We've got one more question. How about Is it more aimed towards young kids or older kids?
Equally. I think it's for everybody.
Equally. So it's for everybody. Ooh. Okay. Vertical. Kind of Nintendo. It's kind of a clone of something that could be an IP.
Sort of.
Sort of.
Yeah.
A lot of sort of's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. How about. It's kind of jaunty.
I haven't even checked if the chat got it right. Hold on. Let's see if someone in there.
I'm kind of thinking.
Someone did get it.
What was that now?
We got people who got it. So.
Oh, people got it? Okay. So it's guessable then. Okay.
It is guessable.
I don't know, man. Kind of reminds me of. I mean, I know Commando would have been about that time, but it's too happy for that. So, Commando for kids?
I don't know. No, that is an incorrect answer. Right. I'm going to play this fart sound because you got it wrong. Hold on. I lost it. Where'd it go? No, that's not it. That's not it. No, that's not. There it is. I found it.
I love it. So it's not spawn.
No, right. It's not spawn. I got you. Although
okay.
I did keep that, though. Where is that?
Yeah.
Nope.
Sonic.
Where do I have it?
Spawn.
There it is. That guy's great.
I think you should get that if you get it right.
Yeah, that should be our new ding.
That's a you did good. Congratulations.
Well, here's the game. Do you remember the Nintendo versus machines? Do you remember those?
Oh, yeah. Like in the Nintendo Play 10 kind of thing?
Yes.
Versus stuff?
They were called Versus, and they had a bunch of games in them, usually 10.
Right.
And one of them was Versus Baseball. That's the literal title, Versus Baseball. Yep. And it would go on to essentially be NES Baseball.
Oh.
So people in the chat are close enough. Nobody said versus, but that's what it is.
Yeah, all your hints make sense now.
Yeah. Because, baseball, you got to pay for it unless you want to make fake players and teams, all that stuff.
Fake players!
League, which I'm actually a fan of. I like I like Tecmo Bowl style, like make it up. Just make shit up. Ah, Bruiser Turtleson, number 42 from the Cleveland Buttholes is coming out on the field. I love
Cleve
that.
Butts. Cleve Butts.
All right, Brian, give me yours. What are our basic... infos
the
here.
Year is 1990 of two, and I've got my little gray box VCR looking thing called the Nintendo Entertainment System.
All right, I'm familiar with
and
it.
I've loaded my cart in, said shit, ejected it, blew on the cart, reinserted, and went success.
Yeah, excellent. Well, I'm gonna find out why right now. '92. This is late era.
I only pick songs. I only pick games that rock.
Yeah, this is kind of rocking. All right, so late stage NES.
Late in the era.
Is this a Nintendo published Nintendo IP?
Incorrect, sir. It is not a Nintendo published IP.
IP. Is it a popular? Is it part of a popular series?
Is it popular? I guess it's popular. It is a series, but I would not get too hung up on that because it's not much of a series.
Oh, well, that takes out one idea I had.
It is a series, but it doesn't really need to be known as that.
No. Yeah. I mean, there's like some follow-ups to it, but it's not really. I wouldn't focus on that. It's just not known for being a series. How's that?
Okay. Is it published by... Or no, I'm not going to ask that. Let me ask you this. Is it a side-scrolling game?
How about I do tell you it was published by the people we just talked a few minutes ago about? Bandai.
Oh, Bandai did it, eh?
Mm-hmm. Well, they published it. Not developed. It's important. But what was your question?
I forgot.
Oh.
What was it?
Okay.
What did they say, chat? Oh, is it side-scrolling? Is what I asked.
Oh, is it side-scrolling? Yes.
It is side-scrolling. like everything back then.
It scrolls to the sides.
I think this is a beat 'em up of some sort. So I'm
that would be a very good guess.
I'm just going to guess and say. I'm going to get, based on you putting that other fire game in there and you've been thinking about Data East, you've had it on your mind.
I will say that there was connective tissue. That is how I got here. I will say that, yes.
All right. I'm going to just guess this is River City Ransom. I'm sure it's wrong.
Ooh, that's a really good guess. It would be wrong, though, but it was a really good guess.
Yeah. What is it?
It is Toxic Crusader.
Oh. That's I know that game. Gosh dang
it. Yes. Based on the cartoon series Toxic Crusaders, but not really. This Trauma Entertainment.
Let's see. NES. They also had a Genesis version. I think that's the one I played.
Yeah, you probably played Genesis. That's the one I played too. But the audio wasn't nearly as good on that one, so I went with the NES version.
Really? Wasn't as good on the Genesis?
No, it didn't. It wasn't really as good. No.
Oh, Genesis. I was struggling.
But I liked the gameplay on the Genesis. I just didn't think the music was nearly as good.
So how is the Toxic Crusaders tied to Toxic Avengers? It is, right?
It is. Yeah. Toxic Avenger was the character from Trauma, and then they made a cartoon special, and I think they probably intentionally made it a little bit different, a little bit disconnected, so that, you know,
because
the Trauma Toxic Avenger is kind of adulty, right?
It's very adulty. They're remaking that, you know. Did you hear about that? They're redoing that deal?
They are. And there's actually a Toxic Crusaders remake of the game.
Oh, no way. That's cool.
Yeah.
I think it's Peter Dinklage is the...
Peter.
Is the new guy. Anyway.
New guy.
Well, I blew that. That went well. I forgot that existed, that game. Wow. I should have said, is it based on a... just for fun. Right. We can play it whenever we want.
Retroware is working on a Toxic Crusader releasing in 2024, hopefully. And it is a nice little beat 'em up. You can see it on Steam. You can actually download the Toxic Crusader demo currently. And I'll put that in our notes here.
Demo on what, Steam?
On the Steam.
Steam. Excellent.
So it's getting a little revisit.
As you know.
I don't like Steam.
Yep.
Mm-mm. But I also, do you know?
Steam. Sorry, you do like Steam.
Why do they?
Yeah.
Wait, that's not you at all.
Why do they?
It's up to you.
I can't find you like Steam.
Oh.
Hold on.
Man, but you played right at the top. You played some of my favorite Christmas stuff, and that's that
I love
Night
Steam.
In the Dreams Christmas thing.
I found it.
Oh, I love Steam.
There it is. I knew I had it.
Steam.
You do love Steam. It almost sounds like you say you love Steve, and I don't know who Steve is.
I love Steve. He's the best.
Yeah, Steve's pretty great.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve. You're great. We love you, Steve. All right, let's move on to listener feedback in a little segment we call emails and texts.
Welcome to the treasure room.
We call it listener feedback. You people out there can text us at 801-471-0462 or email us at playretroshow@gmail.com anytime you want, and I will read them here on the show. We got an email this week from Tony, who says, "Hey, Scott and Brian, this is Chicken Whiskers, I guess? Chicken Whiskers.
Yeah, that's the Chicken Whiskers. Yeah, I thought it was Chin Whiskers at first, but it is Chicken Whiskers.
Chicken Whiskers. This is my first email to Play Retro. I've recently fallen in love with Play Retro, and I'm going through all the back catalog and have two questions. One might be answered in a later episode from where I'm at, but are you guys covering any of the early MMOs? We have discussed..." We'll pause the question here. "We've discussed Ultima Online a little bit, but only in relation to Ultima and where it was going. We have talked about doing... I mean, hell, next year, WoW is 20 years old. EverQuest would be 26 years old or something.
Right. Yep.
Like, it's probably time for us to do something like that.
Yeah, we were very close.
Yeah. I think we'll... You know, and even if it ends up being EverQuest 1 or it ends up being... Let's go back to some of the MUDs that were popular.
Yeah.
You know,
I've also always been interested in that Lucasfilms Habitat thing. I never did anything with that. Did you ever mess with that?
No, I never messed with that at all. I'm not even sure what that is. Habitat?
Habitat. Lucasfilms.
Lucas Game or Film?
Sorry. It was Lucasfilms at the time, I think. Did they then split it to... I can't remember.
Here it is. Lucasfilm Games, they called themselves back then.
Yep.
Massively online multiplayer game developed by LucasArts. First attempt at a large-scale commercial virtual community that was graphics-based. Initially created in 85. Let's see. It was available as a beta test, and then they got bought out. Blah, blah, blah. I'd never heard of this. Right. This could be really fun to dig into this one.
Yes. I'll do those LucasArts things I saw, and I was like, oh, what is that?
I didn't know this was a thing. I had no freaking idea.
Mm-mm. I don't know much more than just the title and that LucasArts did it. That's about all I know.
Yeah.
I don't even know that half the time.
I'm in. Let's do it. Anyway, we'll do something to that effect soon. And maybe all the games deserve their own episodes, right?
Yeah.
So we're just like, hey, one time we'll talk about Habitat. Sometime we'll talk about, what's that
Lineage.
One?
Lineage.
Lineage. Yeah, Lineage is a good one to go with. There's another one I always think of.
I really thought NCSoft was just going to rule the world for a minute. Just for a minute,
so
I thought that it was going to be all about NCSoft doing all the things with the City of Heroes and everything and Lineage, and I thought it was going to be it.
The problem is they bailed too early on everything they made.
Yeah, they did.
They got weird.
Probably being early on. Yep.
Yeah, jerks, buttholes.
Buttholes.
Anyway, what's my point? My point was...
Did we finish the rest of the email?
No, we're going to finish the email. I just got excited. Oh, I know what I was thinking. Yeah, I was thinking of what's the one with the three realms? I played so much of it. It's before WoW came out, and then I never played it again. The one about the Arthurian stuff, you had like Merlin in it.
Oh.
What is wrong with me? My brain today is a mush ball.
Mush ball.
Mush ball.
The chat room is saying
Dark Age of Camelot.
It always knows. Dark Age of Camelot.
I played that so much.
We had to use one of our lifelines. We went to the chat room.
Call of Heroes was good. What was the other one that was not Call of Heroes, but it was the other City of Heroes. City of Heroes. That's what they mean.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be allowed to talk today. Something's messed up in my head.
Man, this is what, hour six of podcast a day, yeah. Something like that?
We've been recording a lot today, and yesterday I had a ton more, and it's just like nonstop for me. Tomorrow is going to be the best Sunday ever. I'm not doing shit. I might play a video game, but we'll see.
Do it.
Anyway, thank you for... let's do the rest of his question.
Joey had said it too.
He says, second question is, which of the dead consoles would you like to see revived? Like if Sega announced tomorrow they were jumping back into console making, and they said they were making a new Sega Master Dream System or something. Ooh. Just a little rhetorical question for you guys to chew on. Thanks. Love the show. Tony, I think I would love to see a revival of the Saturn, personally. The reason I want this isn't going to work and they're not going to do it, but the reason I want this is I would love a return to 2D excellence. Like a machine just dedicated to the best 2D sprite generation you've ever seen in your life. That thing was awesome in that regard. Yeah. And it had great sound.
But they
and
weren't
all
using
stuff.
It that way half the time. They
no, because they felt pressure. They felt pressure from Sony. Because Sony was like, hey, we're all doing 3D, and Saturn's like, oh, shit. Well, I guess we can do a little of that.
But we just made the best 2D game system.
Their timing was terrible, but there's something I would get into about that. Now, some people, many in the chat are saying Dreamcast. I understand. Yeah. I have a lot of love for the Dreamcast, but the Dreamcast is a PS2. It's nothing... There's nothing about it.
I cannot believe you just said that.
It is, though. That's why it got creamed, because it was just a step before PS2.
Suck it, Johnson.
I love my Dreamcast. I loved it. I truly loved it. Yes. If they're going to do a mini...
I am with you that I feel like the Dreamcast had the opportunity, had success, was not big enough success. It therefore had to end. And I don't really feel like we missed out on much from the Dreamcast, but I would love to see it come back. But the same feeling I have kind of for the GameCube, it never got to the full maturity of what I wanted. And that's what I would like to see, return to the GameCube when Nintendo for just a minute lost its mind and forgot who it was and said, let's make a game system for adults, not for the whole family. Let's just make it for, and I would love to have seen more from the GameCube. Where's
I
feel
loved
like the Dreamcast,
my GameCube. Love that thing.
I missed it. I do too. I missed the Dreamcast, but I really feel like it had a full life cycle. You know, I feel like it really, it had opportunity to kind of live.
It had a bunch GameCube of games. It definitely had games. The point, main point with the, he's talking about a revival, right? So if you truly want to revive something, then do a Dreamcast Mini. I'll buy that in a heartbeat.
Oh yeah, that's one of the things. They've meant much fighting over, you know, what Sega does next, whether it makes a Dreamcast Mini or a Sega Saturn. And I'm with you. I feel like the Saturn never had an opportunity to fully flourish either. It never got to be what it was, which is a great 2D machine, like you said. So
yeah,
this all great ideas.
Yeah, I agree. I just very much want them to make more minis. Their Genesis stuff has been awesome. They killed it.
Yeah.
You know, make a Master System.
I want more 32X.
Yeah.
Bring me the 32X.
Yeah. Give me the 32X, you cowards. Put it on top of something, you know, so it's a big towery, stupid thing. I want the whole castle is what I want. That's probably not going to happen. Anyway, thank you for that, Tony. There is another one from, that's you talking. You're like, hey, Tony. Anyway.
Oh, hey. Oh, that was me.
I'm so out of it.
This is my response. Hey, Tony.
I'm literally out of it today, you guys. That's just the way it is today. You're going to have to live with who I am. All right. Let's get moving here to what's next. That's it. We're done. Oh, hey, next week. I'm excited about this because I have fond feelings for this. South Park N64, the South Park game. Perfect Thanksgiving game. All right.
Yes. Throw some snowballs at the turkey.
Yep.
Hopefully we'll be getting that show. We got to discuss when we're going to record it, but it'll be like that Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. So it'll be maybe some leftovers. We don't know exactly how that's all going to go down yet. We haven't talked about it.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Yeah, it's coming. We're excited. We're out of our minds. All right. So look for that. That's next week. Get your N64 on. And we'll be talking about that. In the meantime, please support us on Patreon, patreon.com/playretro. Tons of great people there. And we only just need you to join them. Okay. You want that pre-show content every week? You want that? You want no ads? Hey, how about you want other monthly benefits? How about you just want to help your favorite podcast about retro?
I like that one the best.
I do too. So get over there now and take advantage of us at patreon.com/playretro today. It's going to do it for us. Brian, you have any other thoughts or feelings or anything you want to say before we go?
There was something I wanted to say. I can't remember what it was. Played some Baldur's Gate this past week. Baldur's Gate 3 is not retro, but man, is it fun. Is it fun? It is.
I've been knee deep in World of Warcraft again. What's going on there? Can't stop playing. My paladin will soon be level 70. Anyway, thank you all for listening. That'll do it for us. We'll be back next week with more. Until then, play something retro. We'll see you then.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.